Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in this sixth study of talking about, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the idea of suffering as a Christian. This is a section that began in chapter 4 and verse 12 and has gone down. We're in the last verse of that section here today in chapter 4 and verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good."
Okay, so we start off with therefore, and every time you see therefore, you have to remember it's because of what he said
before.
So what he said before is these verses that talked about, you know, our necessity of being willing to suffer in this life, not for doing wrong. If you suffer for doing wrong, then you're just getting what you deserve, but suffering for doing what is right. And if we do, then we have an inheritance. We have something better waiting for us. But and not only that, we're refined and made to grow and be better here in this life. But if we're not in Christ, if we are outside of the family of God, then what do we have waiting for us? Well, all we have waiting for us is judgment. So because of that, he says, suffer according to the will of God.
Yeah, he gives us both options here. But then he concludes by telling us, but here's what you should really do. You know, the better option here is to suffer according to God's will. If you're going to have to face suffering one way or the other, then it's much better to follow God's plan and to get God's reward through that plan. This is, by the way, the sixth way in which the sixth imperative on how we glorify God. He told us to not be surprised. He told us to rejoice in verse 13. He told us, let none of you suffer as an evildoer in verse 15, to not be ashamed in verse 16, to let him glorify God in verse 16. And now, this last way that we are to glorify God is to entrust our souls to him.
Which takes us back to chapter 2 in verse 23. Jesus kept entrusting himself to the faithful judge of God.
Yeah, it constantly goes back to this example of Jesus that we're supposed to follow. Entrusting our souls, you're going to entrust your soul into something, whether you realize it or not. You're going to put your soul somewhere. So what are you going to bank on? He gives us both options about, you can choose to put your soul into trying to get even, into sin, into things of this world, into trying to have an easy life, fill in the blank. Or you can choose to entrust your soul to God's will. That's the options here that you're given in verse 19. That's his summary.
Yeah, and this idea of entrust means to place something in the hands of others to protect it. It's the same word that Paul uses when he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 and talks about the things that you've heard me teach among faithful witnesses. Mm-hmm. You entrust it to faithful men. Same word of entrusting it. The gospel is something precious. I've entrusted it into you. I've given it into your hands for safekeeping. I want you to put it in others' hands for safekeeping. Well, that's what we're doing with our souls. We're entrusting our souls either, as you said, into our own hands, mm-hmm. to the hands of others, or to the hands of God. Having a long-term view of your life, we keep talking about, but that's who we ought to entrust our eternal souls. And by the way, we say it that way. We're not bodies with C.S. Lewis and whoever said it before him. We're not a body that has a soul. We are a soul that mm-hmm. has a body. But the point, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're not entrusting ourselves. If we are eternal, our soul, what we are, If we are eternal, who else would we entrust it in other than God himself, who is also eternal?
And that's a hard thing, I think, sometimes for us to wrap our mind around. But when you put it in that light that says, you know, if I'm eternal, then why not entrust it to the only thing that's going to be good for me eternally? Mm-hmm. You know, that makes it a lot more clear and a lot more simple. It doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it makes it a lot more clear in the decision and maybe decisions that you have to make in order to achieve that result. But we're entrusting them, he reminds us, to a faithful creator, someone who is with us, someone who's created this whole plan, and someone who's continued to watch out for us and put this in place for us.
Yeah, the fact that he's creator points out the fact that he has the power to protect us, mm-hmm. and that he is faithful in the fact that he's trustworthy. We're entrusting ourselves into one who is trustworthy. You know, he made us, and he wants us to follow him, and he wants us. He's guarding the inheritance we saw in chapter 1. He has the power to protect it because he had the power to create it, and mm-hmm. because he is faithful or trustworthy, that's why. Because he's eternal, because he is powerful, and because he is trustworthy. And, you know, you think about, like, for example, things that we value, our money, our savings account, whatever. We want that to be in the hands of a bank that we know is going to last, mm-hmm. you know, not going to go bankrupt the next week. We want it to be have the power or the strength to, you know, let me see you're safe. Make sure that it's not we can bust through the wall into the hairdressing salon behind it or something like on Andy Griffith. And something that is trustworthy. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not asking the Hamburglar to watch my sack of hamburgers because he's not trustworthy with mm-hmm. them, you know. But God's all of those things. And that's why we ought to do good, and even if it means suffering, trusting that no matter what happens, our eternal, powerful, trustworthy God is going to take care of us.
Yeah, he tells us back in verse 15 to not be an evildoer, to do evil, but instead do good. Be someone that's involved with good things instead of evil things. And what that means is recognizing who your Lord is, who your Creator is, and following in the example and the instruction that he's given to us. We hope that this has been a good study for you, something that you can take home and dive deep into God's Word with. We appreciate you today and every day listening to Scripture Spotlight with us. We hope that you would like and share and subscribe, whether you are waking up or winding down or anywhere in between, that this is something you can use as a resource to grow in your relationship with the Lord as well. We'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.